Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, and what I was explaining was what it means to be strengthened in the inner man. In verse 16, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And I was explaining that the strengthening, to be strengthened in the inner man, means that you are strengthened with the love of God, that it is the love of God within us that strengthens us. And the reason why is because our God designed us in such a way that we need to be loved. That is something that he put within us, the need to be loved, as part of our design. And I was explaining in the previous program that in most cases, people are thinking that this can be a weakness, because in general, we can be exploited by this. There are people who manipulate us because of our desire to be loved. So they can be dishonest with us. They can pretend that they love us when they don't, or they can promise that we will have some sense of love from them if we perform in a certain way. These are the kinds of things that people usually think of when they think of the need to be loved. They're thinking about this as a weakness of some kind. But I was explaining that this is a strength. This is a good part of our design. This was intentional by God. It is not a weakness. It is a strength if we are loved by him, if we will be the recipient of his love for us, if we will be loved by our God, then it is the way through which he strengthens us, that we will be able to engage the world not with what we hope to get because we do not have love, but we will be able to engage the world with what we do have from him, which is the love of God, which is his love for us. And I was explaining this in the previous program. I've also explained in previous programs that the need for love has also been a motivation to sin, that many people are motivated to engage in sin because we have a desire to be loved, and we have this belief, we are deceived, of course, but we have this belief that if we will engage in a certain kind of sin, whatever it may be, that we will feel a sense of fulfillment for our need, for our desire to be loved. And so if we will rest in the love that our God has for us, then it will be easier for us to say no to the temptations of sin because we have what we genuinely need already. So the weakness in our inner person, in who we really are, can be fulfilled, can be met. The weakness that we have can be met when we rest in the love of God to the extent that we can have a sense of strength and fortitude that can enable us to withstand or positively respond to the manipulations of others. It will also enable us to respond properly to the temptations that we may be exposed to when it comes to the issues related to our need for love, our need for acceptance. This is what Paul was referring to at the end of chapter 3, that we are to be strengthened by our God through the truth that he has revealed to us. Moving forward into chapter 4, he goes on and he says, considering what he just said in the end of chapter 3, he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, if you don't pay attention to chapter 3, to the previous verses, if you go right to chapter 4, verse 1, it can be easy to misunderstand what Paul was wanting to convey. You can easily go to chapter 4, verse 1, look at this and say, okay, he beseeches us to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called, and so we better get out there and be worthy of what God has done for us. You know, he saved us. He set us free from whatever. He forgave us our sins. There are many things that people will speak of when they define this situation, and then they will follow it up with, all right, so now you had better go out there and walk worthy in the sense of you had better do that which is right and do not do that which is evil. In other words, you are to live by the law. You are to live by your flesh. You are to live according to the knowledge of good and evil. Just do what's right. Don't do what's wrong, and everything's going to work out just fine. You will then be walking worthy of the calling with which you were called. You were called to God in order to go forward and walk in a worthy way and get your flesh under control. This is, in general, what people will think about when they look at chapter 4, verse 1, just in and of itself. I've heard this explained in this context many times, and so that's why I can be so confident in mentioning that this is what a lot of people believe concerning verse 1, is that they believe that that's why God called them. God called them to get their flesh under control and stop sinning and walk worthy of the calling with which they were called. But I don't believe that that is what Paul had in mind at all. I really do believe that Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 needs to be interpreted in the context of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 16 to 21, the verses just before this. If you look at it from that point of view, then we are going to walk worthy of the calling only by the strength that we have because we rest in his love. That's different. In most cases, people are trying to walk worthy out of the strength of their conviction, out of the strength of their determination, or the incentive of the carrot or the stick, you know, either the beatings or the blessings. That's what people are usually thinking of instead of living our lives with the strength that he has given to us because he loves us and because we rest and trust in the love that he does have for us. That is what it means to walk worthy. And so the first thing that I would encourage you to think about when it comes to walking worthy of the calling with which you were called is to first think about yourself. You need to think about how you are living your daily life in the context of walking worthy, walking in your daily life. How are you living in your daily life? You are making choices and decisions every day in your life experience. And as you make these choices and decisions, you need to first think about yourself. First think about yourself in the context of resting and trusting and believing in the love of God, so you are not so easily persuaded or manipulated by others with the promises, suggestions, or absolute deceptions concerning the love that they may have for you. You need to rest in the love of God in order to live in peace in your heart, in your own heart, in your own being, that you may live in the strength, in the fortitude of who you are in Christ Jesus, and in the love and acceptance that he has for you because of what he has done for you, not because of what you think you might be able to do for him or not do, but because of what he has done for you. And then from there, your daily walk towards others can be expressed differently because you will be able to relate to others in a different way through the fulfillment and through the strength that you have in your inner person, in your inner man. Through that, you will be able to walk differently in your daily life towards others. So first, walking worthy has to do with resting in the truth such that we personally can live in peace in our own hearts. But then from there, we will have an opportunity as we interact with other people to relate to them in a different way such that we will have the opportunity to have a different kind of relationship with other people who are around us because of the strength that we have. Now, of course, this strength concerning the love of God is something to grow in. It is something that increases as we grow and mature in our faith. It's not absolute in the sense that, okay, now you've got it all. It's not like that. You will have a little bit and then a little bit more and a little bit more. Remember, this is a life to be lived. It is something that we experience personally and individually as we grow and mature in the faith, which is something that we experience throughout our lives. There will be no end to the increase of discovering the love that God has for you and discovering how this might be applied in your own personal daily life. But you will see that there will be opportunities for change as you relate to other people in a different way. In verse 2, he speaks about with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, not because he says so, not because he says that this is how you are going to walk worthy. Okay, here are the rules, you know, here's the laws, or here's the principles, or here's the standard, or whatever people may want to say about this. It's not like that. It's not about that at all. Because of what you have, because of what he has done, you are going to experience a change in who you are. And you've been called to live this life and not resist this kind of change as it happens. You will have opportunities to relate to people in a different way, in a way of lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But it's important to realize that this is a side effect of what God does in your heart, in your inner being. This is a consequence of what he does within our person. It's not something that we just go out and obey, you know, repent and obey. It's not about that at all. It's about recognizing that there will be a change. Remember, we were not called to the law. I mentioned this a moment ago with regards to verse 1. To walk worthy of the calling does not mean that we now live in accordance with what is good and evil, to do that which is good and don't do that which is evil. That is not the calling. In verse 1, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, yes, there is a part of this that does imply that you were called to be a child of God. But the only reason why you are a child of God is because of the God who called you. This is very important. You are not called to live a life of repentance and obedience. You are called to your God. You are called to Him. You are called to Christ. And you are to receive what He has for you. That is the calling. He calls out to the whole world, calling out to say, "Come unto me." That is the call. The call is to Christ. That is the call. The call is to be loved by your God. That is the call. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called is to receive what He is giving. That's what it means to walk worthy. The call is to Him, and so go to Him. He is giving you an inheritance. In Christ Jesus, receive that inheritance and let that be a part of your daily life. First for yourself and second as you interact with others. You will discover that you will bear with one another in love. That's the end of verse 2. That the way that you will relate to others will begin to change. As you rest in the love of God will do a work in your heart such that you will begin to relate to others in a different way. What does it mean to bear with one another in love? That has to do primarily with forgiveness. Because, of course, others are going to violate you. And you probably can describe how you have related to people in the past who have violated you, right? I mean, have you expressed some kind of loving attitude towards them, or at least an attitude that they would say would be a reflection of a loving attitude? Would that be their testimony concerning the way in which you related to them in the context of how they violated you? Did you respond to them in a way that was not a reflection of love, that you were not going to bear the offense, the violation that was presented to you by this person? Or did you bear with one another, with the other person, in love in the context of that violation? Now, of course, I don't want to suggest you can't protest what somebody does to you. You certainly should do that if it seems appropriate and useful. But what I'm talking about here is the idea of bearing with one another with the forgiveness, with the love that you have received from your God, if you genuinely are resting and trusting in the love that He has given to you, which can be described in the context of forgiveness. Are you the recipient of the forgiveness of God? Has He forgiven you of your sins, of your violations that you have engaged in towards Him and towards others? Have you experienced His forgiveness for you? Do you know what that means? Do you know what that is? And do you now have that forgiveness to give to someone else? Can you give to someone else the love that He has given to you? Are you expressing long-suffering? Are you expressing gentleness? Are you expressing lowliness? Now, it can be easy for us to examine a situation, you know, examine a circumstance, and examine ourselves. It can be easy for us to look at these kinds of things and say, okay, now let's make sure that in this kind of a situation that we're being gentle, that we're being long-suffering, that we are going to bear, and you know, and then we just figure it out. We figure out how we're going to do this. We can give this a lot of thought, and when we are confronted with these circumstances, we go through the little procedure that we came up with in order to respond in a way that is different than how we would have responded before. And I don't think that that's what he's talking about at all. From what I have experienced personally, when a person approaches it from that point of view, you know, just intellectual enlightenment, okay, now I know the truth and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, instead of doing that, I'm going to do this. You know, we can approach that as an academic exercise or just simply out of our own determination to be a good person. And you know, you may be able to experience some success in that regard. I just believe that Paul is referring to something different. You will discover, this is what's different, you will discover that your God will do a work in your heart. And one day, as you are walking in your daily life, you know, walking in your life, you will experience a circumstance and a situation such that someone else is violating you. And when this happens, you will discover that you will have a different kind of response. It will just simply be there. It's something that just comes out of you, that you will just simply respond differently without even thinking about it. You will think about it afterwards. You'll wonder, my goodness, you know, why is it that I responded that way? That's inconsistent with how I usually react to these kinds of situations and circumstances. Your response to others in the context of bearing with one another, long-suffering, gentleness, lowliness, these are expressions of love that will just come out of you, and you will be just as surprised as somebody else if they knew that that was what was happening. It will be a surprise. It will be a discovery that there has been a change in who you are as a person. This is a work of God. It is God Himself who strengthens us, isn't it? It's God Himself who loves us. It's He who recreates us. It is He who does a work in our hearts, in our inner person. He is the one who does the work. We are to believe, we are to trust, but He is the one who makes the change. He is the one who makes the transformations within us. And so when these moments occur, I believe we are to be encouraged to not resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Do not resist these moments. There will be a moment when someone will violate you, and you will have it in you to bear the burden, to bear with that person in love. You will have it in you to respond to them with a sense of gentleness and long-suffering. Do not resist that. It's okay. It's okay to love someone with the love that you have received from your God. It's okay to be gentle to someone when they are certainly not being gentle with you. It's okay. It's okay to express long-suffering, you know, to suffer long. It's okay to do that. Let that be a manifestation of the inner strength that you have because of what God has done in your heart, and then you can be thankful for what He has done. It will not be an opportunity for you to express your pride. You know, look what I've done. Oh, don't worry. I'll love you in the context of this. See, I'm a pretty good person, aren't I? I'm a nice Christian. No, this is something entirely different. You will know that this will be a work of God. Do not resist it as it takes place. Be thankful for what He has done. Be encouraged by what He has done, and let that be inspiration for you to believe Him more, to trust in Him more, to receive what He has for you even more. And as you do this more and more, you will discover what he expresses in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this unity of the Spirit will be of the collective, not just one person at a time, although I do believe that's certainly described here, but also with the greater context of other believers, of the church as a whole, that you will find yourself looking for ways to increase the unity of the Spirit and to increase the bonds that can exist in the body of Christ. Now, of course, I do believe that it's important for us to assert the truth and to express our convictions, and in many cases, to effectively just tell it the way it really is. I certainly do that. I'm very good at that. I've done that a lot, especially on these radio programs. But in the end, there needs to be a way for people to still have some sense of peace with one another. And the way that we will eventually accomplish that, of course, is through those things that we can share that are in common with one another. And of course, there is a lot to say about this subject. I don't have time for this in this program. I will have to talk about this subject in the next program, the idea of the unity of the body of Christ and how we are able to experience bonds with one another, even though there may be some profound and significant disagreements concerning what is the truth and what is not the truth. But there will be a desire and a motivation for us to endeavor to maintain or keep or to pursue some sense of unity in the Spirit and to experience a greater sense of peace and to experience bonds with others who are also children of God. And I will explain this more in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.